your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise you up, your offspring, to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom.
For a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of this government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne, over his kingdom, establishing and uploading justice and righteousness. From that time on and on forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you he will come for me, and he will be ruler of Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth.
Thank you, Kelechi, Ibitola, and Lucas. So now we have our dramatic Colombian preacher, Mauricio Restrepo, and who's going to share with us. And he prepares himself, we prepare ourselves. Fantastic. So let's give Mauricio a warm welcome.
Hello. Right, I'm going to put my timer on. So you guys, I'm not going to cheat you your time, okay? Let's get ready to go. Amen. My name is Mauricio. I'm one of the youth leaders here at New Life Church, at Bassett Street Church now. And it's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to share with you in a special carol service. I title my brief talk today, A Story to be Told, because I come from a big family, both from my father and my dad's side, so I've heard many, many stories. But there is someone head and shoulders above everybody else, and it's my godfather. His name is Olmedo. He's alive and well. So when I tell you this story, you don't have to worry. Okay? He's alive and well in Colombia. Many years ago, when I was younger, I was told that my uncle was with his friends in a bar. And they were having a good time. But unfortunately, in this bar, it seems that in two tables somewhere else in the bar, a fight broke out between two groups of people. And to make matters worse, someone decided to turn out the lights of the bar while this fight started happening. And not only that, you can start hearing gunshots going off in the bar while the lights were off. So it became absolutely pandemonium and it became crazy. Someone turned the lights back on. My grandfather's on the ground. When they come to check on him, someone had shot obviously a bullet and it had gone past my grandfather's cheek and out his mouth. He was obviously unconscious on the floor, but he was still alive. His friends were really worried. They called an ambulance. The ambulance came, and you might think, oh, that's really unlucky, but that's not the end of the story. When the ambulance came and took him away, everybody went home. This is a time of no WhatsApp or Snapchat, so you couldn't just send a photo to let everybody know how he was doing. You had to go home and wait for a telephone call to your house to be able to know what was going on. When they finally received the phone call, they said, sorry, but the ambulance that was taking your uncle crashed on the way to the hospital and actually had rolled down into a ditch, but he is still alive. So that's why I'm laughing. Okay, he is still alive. But why am I telling you this? Well, you see, I was told this by my parents, but then many years later, I saw my uncle and he told this story himself. And the story resonated because I was able to see him. I was able to witness the person who told the story. I was able to hug him. I could see the scar. He's got a scar next to his cheek where the bullet went through. So it became more real to me. Well, you see, the story of nativity is exactly the same. People witnessed what happened. They witnessed the birth of an incredible child and the rest of his life. And they had to write down what they saw because it was incredible. This is what Luke wrote in chapter 1, verse 1 to 4 in the gospel. This is what he wrote in this letter. This is what he says. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us, who's from the first were eyewitness accounts. and servants of the word. Therefore, says Luke, since I myself have carefully investigated all these different accounts, it seemed good to me to write an orderly account to you, O excellent Theophilus, is the person who the letter is being directed to, so that you may know for certainty of the things that have happened. So there was not just one. There is a reason why there is four gospels. And it seems that there were many accounts of this incredible birth and this incredible story. But he wasn't the only one. He was a doctor and a physician, and he carefully investigated all the eyewitness accounts. But there was one who was an eyewitness, and his name is John. And in the first of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The word of life. The life appeared. And we have seen it, he says, and testify to it and proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. You see, all those in the gospel, all those witnesses were standing in the center. And I want you to imagine, I'm standing right here, let's say, in this rectangle right here, okay? If you stand in the life of Jesus from his birth to his death 33 years later, you stand in the center and there's a story of a narrative from the beginning to an end. And these witnesses, eyewitnesses were saying, from the beginning we have heard. So it's like you stand on Jesus' story and you look backwards and you look to the past of history and humankind. And they're saying it's like this. When I came to the UK for the first time in the 90s, I went for the first time to Scotland in the UK. And I remember being up in the Highlands for the first time, seeing in the summer a perfect twilight, no clouds whatsoever. And the stars were like, it was an ocean of stars, but it felt like if you reach out, you could touch it, like it was right there. But you knew that there were billions of miles away. And what these eyewitnesses were saying, that there was something there. There was something more to life all through human history that was flashing, that was there. And it was like you could touch it, but there was a separation. We could not reach it. Not much I could think. I could think I could touch those stars. I couldn't because they were so far away. But yet the light was there. The light was shining. There was something there. And all through human history, humans have tried to find a way how to reach that light, that there is something more to life that I can see and touch, but you can't reach it. But then they were saying, this what we have heard, the life appeared. And what they are saying is that if you stand on Jesus' gospel, from forgetting the past, but now going to the center, in the present, and looking to the future, it's like this. 3 years ago, I went for the first time back to my home country, Colombia. And if you go to Colombia, because it's in the equator, any country that's in the equator, you will know that the sun rises and sun sets at exactly at the same time. It's not like in the UK, in the northern hemisphere or southern one, it's in different times. So I remember for the first time, where I come from is called the Valley, El Valle. And it's a massive plain. But around you, you can see the mountains surrounded in a distance as far as the eye can see. And I remember being at my family's farm for the first time and a sunrise exactly at the same time as I was told it was going to be. And I could see a sunlight coming through the aurora, the first light. That is what the eyewitnesses are saying. This life appeared. No longer was it a star that was billions of miles away, but this light is now here. It has appeared. And that is what we have with the nativity story. We have the dawning of something new. Something that was separated is now here. Something that was far away is now here. And that's what the brave couple, Mary and Joseph, they were very brave. Did you know that? Mary would have been stoned to death if they would have found out. As we know from the story of Matthew, the marriage hadn't been consummated, it hadn't been married yet. She would have been stoned to death. And they had to travel 120 kilometers to a very peculiar place. One of the teens from the church read it, Micah 5:2, 550 years before, from you, O Bethlehem, this prince that was promised would be coming. And they traveled what would have been about 120 kilometers from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They couldn't go to King's Cross to get the nearest train. They couldn't get the Uber from Euston. They would have had to walk, probably in a donkey, in a road for 120 kilometers. Mary, nearly full term. Courageous journey, but they saw what the eyewitnesses were seeing. They knew that something new had come. You know what Bethlehem means? In the Hebrew, Bethlehem means, there's two words in one. Beth means house, and Lechem means bread. Bethlehem translates from the Hebrew, house of bread. How peculiar that they would travel to a place known as the house of bread, when this child that was going to be born there would later claim, 30 years later, in John chapter 6, verse 35, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry again. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. This life that appeared was proclaiming that he had a nourishment which physically it will never ever end. He had a nourishment that is different to the bread that we could eat today. It was different to the water that we drink today. Because when we eat and drink, we will go thirsty and hungry again. But he had a nourishment that will last forever, for eternal. That's what the witnesses were saying. But not only that, I want to take you to back to Luke chapter 2, when we read the story of the gospel, of the story of the nativity. Something peculiar when the angels sang. We knew that something was separated. Remember, John said, we heard from the beginning. So there was a separation there. Look how interesting when the angels sing. And we had these shepherds who were the eyewitnesses to this. As the angels sang, verse 14, chapter 2, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. The word peace, that's very peculiar, isn't it? Because just reading the news today, there seems to me we are very far from having peace. Just Tom today was just saying it now in the worship. We're here today of wars, rumors of war, of famine. There is no peace. So what peace is talking about here? In the New Testament is written in ancient Greek. Okay? And the word peace in the ancient Greek is called like this. It's called eirenai. It comes from the verb eiro. And it literally translates to join that which was separated. Or in other words, to join two things that had been separated. The angels were declaring that this boy who would later claim to be the bread of life was he who was going to join what was separated. He was going to be the bridge that humanity had forever or ever wondered in the twilight. If there was something more to my life, this baby was declared, I am he who you were looking for all your life because I am the bread of life. And he went on to declare something more interesting. Not only are we separated, but in John chapter 8, Jesus revealed something more interesting that we need to consider. In John 8, verse 31, Jesus said, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. That seems quite straightforward, doesn't it? But there is something more happening. And in the Bible, that's the beautiful thing about this word of life. There is something else. Look what Jesus says. Then you will know the truth. So he's peeling back the layers to this believing. It's not just blind faith. There's something else going on. Jesus says, and the truth will set you free. If you are being set free from something, it means you are in bondage to something. You are a slave to something. So they will answer to him, but we are sons, Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we should be set free? Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son, with a capital S, this baby born in a manger in the nativity, sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, in the summer, and I'm going to end with this now, I worked for TfL as an engineer, and we were surveying some stations in the Bakerloo line. So we got on a train, And it was three of my colleagues and myself. And when we got on this carriage, because it was in the summer and after COVID, it was empty, completely empty. And we sat down and we traveled for about a few stations. We were like in Waterloo going towards Elephant and Castle. About a stop and a half later, we realized there was a man lying down on the floor on the other side of the carriage. I was the designated first aider. So I had to get up and I went with them to the other side and I went over to the other side and I go, sir, are you okay? And we were all quite hesitant to get too close because this was obviously during COVID and we were like, sir, are you okay? Are you okay, sir? No response. I had to get closer and I started shaking him. Sir, are you okay? When we got to the platform and embankment, I told my colleague, pull the emergency alarm. We're going to have to stop the train. Something's going on here. The driver came running round and together we started shaking him. Sir, are you okay? I tried to check his pulse, but I know I didn't do it properly. One thing is doing it with a mannequin in the office. One thing is doing it for real on a person. I was shaking and I was trying to get him up. Finally, the supervisor came down, three of us shaking him. So finally he got up, staggered, looked at us, got on the platform, thank you, and walked away. All of us started looking at each other. A minute ago, I thought this person's life was near the end. I had cold sweats at the back. We're asleep. He was in bondage. He was a slave. When I was 15, I walked into a church for the first time. And for 2 years, I was asleep on a train on the ground because I was a bondage and I was a slave and I was separated from God. And it took me 2 years of shaking from Jesus telling me, get up, Mauricio. Get up. Get up. Wake up. The life has appeared. I am here. It took me 2 years to realize that I don't need to travel 120 kilometers from London to Bethlehem anymore. The bread of life. You see, I told you about the dawn, but that dawn became a noon. And that scorching sun is at the years of 33. Jesus died on the cross. And no longer was it a promise of something new. The new became the real. The new became the now. And forever it will be. Because when Jesus died on the cross, every bondage, every slave in humanity, no matter what part of the world you are, whether you're in the northern or southern hemisphere, that bondage was broken. And Jesus appeared. It was no longer, I heard about something. It was they saw it and they touched it. And that word of life is this, the word of God. And it's hence why when people have their life changed, they proclaim it. They give their life for it. Because they are nourished by something that doesn't die. Physically, we will die. Mentally, we will die. But with Jesus' nourishment, we won't. Because we are set free from our bondage. And we have a bridge in Jesus where we can be united with God once again. Let us stand, church. Let us pray. I want to pray today, church, that today we are awoken from our slumber. I want to pray if you have never heard of Jesus or this is your first time hearing it, I want to pray that if you are asleep on that carriage, that you wake up. Many of us are in bondage and we don't know that we are in bondage. Many of us are slaves and we don't know that we are slaves. Many of us are separated from God and we don't realize it. Let us pray for that freedom. I ask to come to the house of bread so you can meet He who is the bread of life. Let us pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want to praise you and honor you because you traveled to the house of bread, to be born as promised and faithfully, so you can be the bread of life for those who are hungry for more, for those who know that there is more to life than just living and working and paying the bills. Because one day, when the time comes, O Lord, you say that today, that now is the time to get to know you. I pray for those who are longing, who have experienced loss, not just now through COVID, but the rest of their life, who have achieved success here now, material success, but are still have a longing in their heart that there is something more. I pray that you shake them in the Holy Spirit and they awaken and they take the veil and they see Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name, O Lord. I pray that you, as a church, we honor and we worship you. I know that in you, we have a nourishment that will give us eternal life and will give us joy now, like we were singing, real joy, no matter the circumstance. I give you thanks, I give you praise, and I pray that in the nativity, we see that dawning of something new. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
One day I'm going to learn how to take off a mask and put on my glasses at the same time. We're going to sing just now. Tom, do you want to take your place in the singers? The last song, which is See Him Lying on a Bed of Straw. Thank you, Mauricio. It's so good to realize that when we're singing the carols, that there is actually, that these are real. It's real, isn't it? That's the message Mauricio's, you know, brought to me today. It was real. It happened. And actually, it's real today. And that Jesus still saves and rescues us in life. In the song we're about to sing, after it says a drafty stable with an open door, which we can all identify with, it says, shepherds, quickly from your stupor rise. And that's what Mauricio has been talking about. We can pray that verse, you know, wake us up, Lord. And then it says, mine forgiveness by the death for me, child of sorrow for my joy. And because of what Jesus did, we can receive today that wonderful bread of life that Mauricio talked about. And at the end, there's a little booklet here called Why Christmas, which explains in greater detail that if you're interested in what Mauricio's talked about and the message is new to you, then talk to Mauricio at the end, and you can take one of those away.